17. It was a very good year.
1915 was a very good year because that's when the chairman of the board came into this world, Frank Sinatra, born a century ago tomorrow, into a timeless story of celebrity, brutality, and excess. Every flaw, though, instantly forgiven because Frank, you see, could sing.
Recalls a love that used to be the dreams I dream. Only the lonely dream.
Sinatra sang such lyrics in a way that was beyond the music he never learned to read. Sinatra's talent was something even he had difficulty understanding. Moody, insecure, he reportedly tried to commit suicide twice during his career, which began in the 1940s and ended the night of his last heart attack in 1998, on the same night as Seinfeld's last episode.
What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger.
Frank was a musical genius, and a genius he was.
That's Jonathan Schwartz, who knew Sinatra well. Schwartz's father, Arthur, wrote songs for Sinatra. Jonathan was dubbed by Old Blue Eyes his best informed fan. Schwartz is a longtime radio legend and host of New York Public Radio's Jonathan Channel. Schwartz long ago coined the phrase the American songbook. He says Sinatra lived in that songbook and gave it life as well.
He changed everything. He is the greatest interpretive singer that we've ever had.
What does that mean, interpretive singer?
That means that he takes material written by other people and interprets that material, that's those songs. Harold Arlen's Stormy Weather.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
He made three records of, actually four, of Stormy Weather through the years.
I don't mean to be too pointy-headed about it, but I mean, he found in this interpretive zone so much, such a rich... It was like there were three or four layers of song there that the composer never even knew about.
That's genius.
Yeah.
And I don't throw around the word. I hardly.
No. Let's listen to The Wee Small Hours.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep.
A man named Jack Mann, he was a pianist, and his lyricist, Bob Hilliard, they were together one night playing cards till about 2 o'clock. And Bob Mann said, I think I'm going home. He lived in Manhattan. Hilliard said, let's write a song. And Mann said, it's too late. And, okay, he sat down at the piano. And he played out the melody of In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning as if it had been there before.
In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss most of all.
And Bob Hilliard, respecting this, wrote his lyric. Bob Mann left. Put the sheet music in his overcoat. It was February. The next morning, Mann grabbed a cab and went downtown for some business. And just on the south side of Columbus Circle, cab was stopped for a light in front of another cab. And out of that other cab came Nelson Riddle and Sinatra. And Bob Mann knew them very well all his life. And he pulled down the window and said, Frank, Nelson. And Frank gestured to him, come here, follow us. And Bob Mann followed them into Capitol Records. It had a small office there at that place. And they went into a room. They were sorting through songs that would go on a 16-song album when they made it. And as they did, Mann was just watching them, Bob Mann. He thought, wait a minute. And he went to his overcoat and he pulled out the song that he and Hilliard had written the night before and handed it to Sinatra. Sinatra looked at it and said, that's my kind of song. Now you understand, if one of those cabs had been 2 seconds earlier or later, no Wee Small Hours.
Did Sinatra have an idea of the kind of singer he wanted to be? Did he want to be a pop singer? Did he want to be a phenomenon that he became? Did he want to sell a number of records? Did he have any sense of the record industry like we understand it today?
None of those things. He worshipped Crosby as he grew up, loved the songs he heard on the radio. Later on, many years later, in the early 70s, he gave an interview to a friend, a woman he trusted, Arlene Francis, who did a program on WOR.
Sure, I remember it well.
45 minutes. And the subject came up, similar to yours, and he said, I loved Bing's, those records. I listened to them all the time. I knew I wanted to sing. I didn't want to sing like that, he said. I had some other ideas. Now, the other ideas turned out to be, certainly one of them, to make song speech, those long lines of music that he holds, very much could be received as a conversation like we're having.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lovely day, and we're here talking on the takeaway, and I can't no breath. I made a breath. In other words, he wanted to make the song as close to the speech as possible, and he began to swim underwater. His buddies in Hoboken said, what you doing? Sinatra, come up, out the water, come up, join us. What's the matter with you? But he knew what he was doing at a young age.
Jonathan Schwartz, thank you so much.
You're entirely welcome, Mr. Takeaway.
Jonathan Schwartz is the host of New York Public Radio's Jonathan Channel, where he guides listeners through decades of tunes, drawing from his encyclopedic knowledge of music and friendships with the likes of Frank Sinatra, Stephen Sondheim, and Mr. Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people, by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.